ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Presented by Zadok Jewelers. KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. All teams covered. No talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Let's go straight out to the HRMP guest line. Mario Elie, Houston Rockets legend, does some work for AT&T Sportsnet. Houston Rockets analyst joining us now on the HRMP guest line. Mary, we'll ask you about the draft here coming up shortly, but first, I haven't heard your thoughts on the trade for the 26th pick of the first round, trading Christian Wood to the Mavericks for the first round draft pick, some cap fillers as well. What did you think when you heard of the news of the trade?
Well, I thought it was a good trade. I think Christian was very talented, and I think, we got Shangoon, we got a lot of young bigs that we drafted that we need to see if they can play. And it looks like we may get another one in this draft. So I thought it was a good trade. And you see, we got KJ Martin, I think, did an outstanding job last year. He's seeing what's going on. It's a real live TAM at that position. So I thought the Rockets made a solid move, just clearing space. We got to see what we got in Shangoon. I think he's a good player. And I'm thinking in this draft, we're going to get maybe another big. So it should be interesting.
Well, Mario, we're family. I'll say it. You won't. Addition by subtraction, because we all knew for whatever he brought to the table on the court, he was a bit of a handful off the court, too. And that's the question that I roll into with you, because you've been in so many locker rooms. At a certain point, veterans are needed, right? I think that Christian Wood was moved in part because they didn't want that to be a negative influence on these young kids in this locker room that you were touching on. When do you think it's right for the Rockets to start looking for those veterans across the league that might not be looking to make a bigger name for themselves, but would be willing to accept a role both on and off the court so that this young core can continue to develop?
These days, Joe, those are very hard to find. You saw a perfect example of one of those guys in the finals in Al Horford.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Al Horford. He just goes out and does his job. Doesn't complain. You see his teammates just always talk highly of him, whether he was in Atlanta, whether he was in Boston, wherever he has been. He's been a true, true professional. And the dude's available and wants to play. That's what I like about him. True leader. Wanted him to win it this year. I thought just the Warriors were just too good and too tough. But those are the guys you need in your locker room. Hal Horford, I don't know how many of those guys you have. You got Udonis Haslam, but I think he's a little past his prime. And those guys, Joe, that's a great point. Those guys are really hard to find. And locker room chemistry, as you mentioned, Joe, is very, very big. And if somebody's causing a little disturbance in there, it can carry on the court. So, like you mentioned, addition by subtraction. I want to see what Shagoon got. And as I said earlier, we're going to probably get a big, another big in this draft. I'm thinking all three of those guys. All pretty good.
Mario Elie joining us on the HRMP guest line, Rockets legend and Rockets analyst as well for AT&T Sportsnet. NBA draft, as you allude to, Mario, coming up Thursday night. Three bigs have been 1, 2, 3 in some sort of order for quite some time now, with Jabari, Chet, Paulo. Vegas odds are kind of signaling that Banchero is getting a little bit more steam to go earlier than maybe number three, as we all thought. But as you look at those three bigs that you refer to, what do you like about all of them? What gives you some concern about all of them?
Well, the one guy I would pick number one, of course, is Jabari Smith. He sort of has a little Robert Horry in him, 6'10", can shoot the ball, can put it on the floor, very athletic, can do a lot of things out there. Maybe needs to get a little stronger. I think that may be his weakness. Banchero's the second guy I really like. The rumblings I've been hearing about him, he's a huge human being who is very skilled. To me, out of the three guys, he's most NBA ready to me. He has an NBA body. And I think he's NBA ready right now. And I heard he's been killing his workouts. Chet, to me, is the biggest question mark. I think he can be either home run or strikeout. I think there's no middle ground with him. I hear he hasn't been giving out his medical report. That, to me, that concerns me. Big boy can shoot the three. As good as Gonzaga was, they didn't win it. I think he averaged 14. I thought he was more effective defensively. I know he can shoot the three. And also it depends what team he goes to. But to me, the most intriguing guy in the draft, if Smith and Bancaro is not available, I would take Ivy. Ivy's the most athletic guard in the draft. Little John Moran, Donovan Mitchell type of talent. And you really, you can't really pass on guys like that. As you see in the league right now, Lillard, Curry, you don't have your prototypical point guard right now. It's like a positionless league right now. And I think Ivy is a sleeper, and you see a lot of teams are trying to move up to get this young man.
Okay, Rio, with that being said, they cleared a roster spot and got rid of their starting power forward. Doesn't that lend itself to your belief that Rafael Stone has no choice but to take whichever of the three bigs is left over, because otherwise they're going to have a gaping hole in terms of their front court for this coming season and beyond?
Well, like I said, Joe, I'm like, I would have to play small. If Ivy was available, to me, Chet is still a question mark. I don't know if you have to take him. To me, take the most talented player. And this guy is really, really moving up the board. And I went back just to look at his highlights, and I was very, very impressed with this young man. So, Knicks, Kings, there's a lot of teams that's inquiring about him. I really haven't heard a lot of buzz about Chet. I'm going to hear some buzz about his workout. He's been very, very quiet with everything. But what the stuff I've been hearing about Jaden Ivey, his athletic ability, he's been really killing in his workout, dunking on people, and really showing his athleticism. So, I know you have to pick a big. Don't we have a bunch of bigs? We got all these young bigs, but it's going to be a tough decision. It's going to be interesting to see how the draft goes. But I'm going with the best player. Those are my three. I would have Chet fourth on my list. I got to go with athleticism and explosion, and I think a guy that can just help me really immediately.
Joining us on the HRMP guest line, Mario Elie. Looking at this roster, and that the Rockets have the three first-rounders. They have one there in the teens. They added number 26 as well in the Christian Wood trade. Do you see a scenario in which the Rockets have three rookies, first-round rookies, on next year's team?
My thing is I would keep the third pick and try to dangle those other picks. We need some veterans now. We've got enough young players. I know we have Eric Gordon. But to me, the thing with Eric Gordon, I want a guy who's going to be one to play every night. Love Eric Gordon, brings a lot to the table, but he's not available every night. I want a guy who's going to be available. So I would definitely keep the number three pick and maybe thinking about these other draft picks and him, maybe try to get maybe one or two veterans. I know I've been hearing words that they're trying to get a first pick for EG. But to me, we need guys to help us now. So we already have a young roster. We don't want to get younger. I mean, we need some good veterans and guy who can come in and really impact the game.
It's interesting, Mario, because Phoenix supposedly made a first-round offer before the deadline, and Stone said he'd get back to him by the time he did. They balked. Now I think in retrospect they would have loved to have Eric Gordon in the playoffs. Add Philadelphia, because Daryl Morey knows him. Add Miami, also looking for a third option. You would think you've got three contending-type teams that would be interested in Eric Gordon. Now, the first-round pick might not be as high, but like you said, as long as you have it, because you're going to enter a couple of years here with thanks to Daryl trading him away, you don't have a lot of first-round picks to choose from. You could always parlay it and trade and use it as a resource, but I think the same way I said before the deadline, Wood and Gordon should have already been gone. The fact that you saved some face by getting rid of Wood, I think between now and the start of the season, Eric Gordon has got to move on, and it's in the best interest of both parties.
Agreed, because I just want Jalen Green and Kevin Porter to really mature. We picked Green, too, and he needs to play big minutes. We saw some great things in him the last 20 games of the season. He was starting to play both ends, and I think Jalen Green is a kid that's going to be playing maybe 35 to 40 minutes a night, And we're going to need him to play like that if we're going to win some games. And that's sort of taking minutes away from Eric. And we got decisions to make on Kevin Porter Jr., right? I think he has a contract coming up. We invest a lot in this young man. We drafted Josh Christopher at number 15. And they said this kid lives in the gym. And I know they high on this kid Nix from the G League. Really didn't see a lot from him when he came up with the Rockets. I was very disappointed in him. But he goes back to the G League and starts killing. I need to see that same killing at the NBA level. So we sort of loaded at the guards right now. We got a lot of young guards. So I think Eric, you know, he's at a time of career he wants to win. And like you mentioned, Joe, you got a lot of contenders who would love to have him. So then those contenders got some solid players. So hopefully we can get a deal done and then get some solid players in here.
I think one other thing, just circling back, Mario, because I'm with you. I think Jabari Smith's the best player in this draft. Jeremy as well. We've agreed that we think Jabari Smith's the best player in this draft. I think the worst-case scenario is Chet slides to them, because with all the comparisons being made and the just unlawfully sinister comparison to Kevin Durant early, but trying to say that, you know, he does have a good skill set, but in the NBA where everyone's a grown man and everyone's an athlete, in order to take advantage of that, those skill sets he has, he's got to be able to take it off the dribble and beat someone and have some quickness, and he still has to defend people. And we saw even with the Hashim Thabeet, putting weight on and muscle can also be a huge challenge. I don't know that the Rockets are willing to take on a project right now with the other guys they have.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's why I said, Joe, that Chet is, to me, out of the top four guys, he's the biggest question mark, you know. I understand he was player of the year in high school. To me, you come into the college, I expected him to dominate a little more. You know, 14, I don't know how many rebounds. I know he blocked a lot of shots, but coming out with all that hype, I expected a little more. I think Smith and Bankera lived up to their hype, you know, and it sort of carried on the whole year. And I think both of those guys are really going to be good pulls, but I'm with you on Chet. You know, got to get stronger. You know, guys move well in the NBA. You got Embiid. You got Jokic guys he's going to have to deal with. So it's going to be interesting how he develops. I'm rooting for the kid. He deserves to be a lottery pick. He put himself in a good situation. But to me, he is the biggest question mark in the draft, especially not knowing his health history. You know, everybody said he hasn't really given the information about his health. I would like to see what's going on with that. That's very important.
Yeah.
We had a young man that played in the league who just passed away, kid from Purdue, 25 years old. You know, Cade Swanigan passed away. So NBA teams want to know about these guys' health. It's very important.
Mario, great insight as always. Thursday night's going to be a lot of fun to see what the Rockets can accomplish with three first-round draft picks. Appreciate the time. I look forward to catching up again
soon.
Anytime. Great catching up with the Killer Bees, the real Killer Bees, baby.
The real Killer Bees. Love it. Mario Elie, Rockets legend, and, of course, AT&T Sportsnet Rocket analyst as well. We'll also look at a Rocket scenario, doing it each day at 2:30 ahead of the draft on Thursday night. Make sure you're tuning into that. But coming up next, a retirement in the NFL. This is a surprise to you. And what friendly terms annoy you? That's next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Doesn't annoy me, but it is a friendly thing. I want to tell you about HR&P, Human Resources and Payroll. Look, it's Cougar owned by Mike Holly. You know it's in good hands. He used to protect a Heisman Trophy winner, and now he wants to protect you and your business. You've seen the HR&P sign at U of H games. You've seen their building off the Beltway, and also HR&P, members of the Cougar 100 for the eighth year in a row. And now, look, business owners, let HR&P help you. Whether it's HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, onboarding, HR&P can help in any or all of those areas. Best thing about HR&P, one of the many best things, there's no boxes. It doesn't matter how small, doesn't matter how big. HR&P completely customizes a plan for what you and your business needs. They just want to help you figure out a way to grow your business, help out some of the things that you want to take off your plate. If you have a problem or an issue, HR&P will find a way to help. And they also do it in a way that's very unique. Technology meeting service. They have the best technology. You'll love that. But you'll also fall in love with their service. Guaranteed fulfillment. You won't be talking to some stranger on a call board. You'll be talking to someone who knows you. They know your business needs, and they know how to help you as well. Look, We use HRMP here at Gal Media. I'm somebody that asks questions from time to time. And HRMP, whenever I ask those questions, they're always very quick, and they always have an answer that I need to have answered. The customer support is second to none. Give them a call, 281-880-6525, and let HRMP customize a plan for you, 281-880-6525, or check them out on the web at hrp.net. That's hrp.net.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
There is a retirement in the NFL. Rob Gronkowski has announced his retirement for the second time from the National Football League. Do you think it's going to stick this time?
I think it should. I think for, you know, that he took a beating last year. And, you know, and he did it for Brady, and they got the end result that they wanted, and they had another good run last year. But last year, it really started to catch up for him. But really, for the last 2 years, you know, it's like the Barkley kind of mentality, right? You go balls out, and you just do whatever for so long, and at a certain point, nature and father time catch up with you, and you can't recover as quick. I just felt like it was time for him. You know, he just wasn't the same type player, though. He was elite for a lot of years, but when he fell off, you could tell that this wasn't going to be like a Brady thing where you could keep hanging on. He fell off.
Yeah, he wasn't Gronk in New England. He was more of the like Toby Keith song, right? Like, you know, he's not as good as he once was, but he's good once as he ever was, because he still had some flashes in Tampa.
I thought he wasn't a Red Solo Cup, because I'm not a country guy. I didn't know which one you were going with.
Yeah, not a country guy, but you know all of Toby Keith's songs.
I said one.
Huh?
I only know one song, Red Solo Cup.
Yeah, listen to you. Big fan of Toby Keith? You got it on the Spotify?
I'm not a
listen
big fan.
Listen to it on the
Lisa's
way home?
A country music.
Not like, a big fan of your
name songs.
I almost
got mad and punished Taylor because they were in the car. She goes, Daddy, I got to listen to country music in Mommy's car. And I go, oh?
You don't like country music? What's wrong with you? Just you live in Texas.
There's some, but not much.
George Strait's the king. You don't love George Strait?
I didn't say I don't love George
Garth
Strait.
Brooks, but you like
yeah,
Garth?
I like Garth. He's coming August 6th. NRG. Yeah.
I wish he was coming in September, because I would love to go to that concert.
Common is coming with the Houston Symphony, by the way, in late July.
Really? Listen to this. How do you not love this? This is good old. Give me a little cold beer. Now, Red Solo Cup is this is a terrible song.
You were all into it, and all of a sudden, how about that for a 180? I mean, listen to that. That's great. Oh, it's a terrible song.
I like the guitar. The guitar is good. But you get to the lyrics.
Was that not a banjo first, not a guitar?
It's all part of it.
Oh, just all strings?
It's all part of it. I've been by Toby Keith's house. He lives in Norman, where I got some relatives that live. Nice property for Toby Keith.
He also had that chain of restaurants, and they had one in OKC when there was no place to go in OKC when we played the Thunder.
Yeah.
There was a Toby Keith's, whatever he calls
it. I forget what it's called, but I drove by it.
It's like Toby Keith's Roadhouse or something like that.
He's also got, this was actually pretty cool, because I don't love Toby Keith's music, but I mean, I respect the fact that he's made a lot of money singing about Red Solo Cups, but he's got, like, he owns this little bar that's like a little honky-tonk, and it's like down the road from his property. It's like a really cool little spot, like kind of an intimate setting. He has,
and he's a big Sooner fan, right?
Yeah.
I think
he grew up in Moore, Oklahoma, where that tornado went through.
And he's a big golfer, too.
Is he really?
Yeah, he and there's another guy that I guess is a country music performer, but also was like on the mini tours.
Really?
And they're buddies, and they play a lot.
Sounds like you know a lot about Toby Keith.
Yeah, because he used to go to the Tahoe Celebrity Tournament.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that Gronk, I think it's going to keep this time. I
think so.
Now, would it shock me if in 3 weeks, like Tom Brady, Gronk say, oh, you know what? Tampa Bay sounds really fun. Or if, you know, there's an injury to Cameron Brate.
Mm-hmm. Could he be enticed to come out?
The great Cameron Brate. Yeah, see, I think he could.
It might be like best case scenario for both. He only has to play half a season or less if they need him.
Yeah.
As an insurance policy. Because here's the other thing. He's not going to be Tom Brady-esque in terms of the amount of money he's going to command outside of football, but he's going to get some money.
And
whether it be like in a more unorthodox kind of analyst role, or the WWE, or all the other things that he's not afraid to say yes to, from Barstool to like a Pat McAfee kind of thing, he's going to have opportunity.
He was a 24/7 WWE champion.
Yep.
Once upon a time. So, Yeah, we'll see. One of the amazing things about Gronk, because Gronk comes off as like a stupid jock, right? Like he's kind of a meathead. Is the fact that he never spent any of his contract dollars. He said that he would always, like, any money that he made from his team, contract money, that he would just put away, like, in his retirement, and he would live only on his endorsements, which is pretty crazy. Like, you wouldn't think that of Rob Gronkowski, like, throwing down spikes and chugging beers and doing all this stuff, but financially responsible, that Mr. Gronkowski.
I would think his endorsements, though, were mostly, like, localized around the New England area, right? He didn't have any nationals till later in his career.
Well, I think, like, signings, autographs. Every side venture. And he was doing commercials and stuff, too. He was doing early in his career.
Yeah, I was going to say, he did more probably in the last 2 to 3, 4 years of his career than he did for the rest of his career. But you're right, between the Nike money or whatever, shoe company money, and, you know, you're still going to get a car and get the local stuff that most every NFL guy gets in his local market. But, yeah, the autograph signing alone has become big business.
If I was living on my endorsement dollars, I'd be living under a bridge. Asking Brendan to bring me water and bread.
No, you wouldn't need to because you'd have plenty of whiskey or vodka and gin.
Yeah, they make a whiskey too. They just don't sell it in stores. Okay. That's a good point. That's not a bad way to do a life, to be honest. Throw on a little Toby Keith, live under the bridge, a little bit of Gentle Ben whiskey, vodka and gin. Not a terrible thing. Yeah, I think Gronkowski. I think I think that he's done this time though. He's still going to be involved. He's still going to be in our life, but I don't think we see Rob Gronkowski more. So there's what was that?
Agreed.
What friendly term annoys you? Like, you know, whenever somebody, it sounds like degrading, but they don't really, sometimes they don't even mean it that way. Sometimes they're being authentic and being genuine. Like, if I'm like, hey, could you pass me that water, bud? Or like, hey, can you go give me a cup of coffee, boss? Like, little words like that that really aren't mean. They're not bad. They're not insulting.
I didn't really think about this till you said it, because I had a different kind of idea about terminology, but I would say that boss is one that really gets me. Like there's trainers at the gym that's the only thing they call every male that comes in their path, because you're in the same vicinity and you hear, what's up, boss?
What do they say?
Yeah, boss.
Pick up your 5-pound dumbbells, boss.
No, I mean, they could be training someone and say, hey, boss, you done there?
We racked your weights.
Yeah, you done on that station, boss? Okay, boss, we're gonna be coming over there.
So boss is not one that you like. How about this one? Could you turn up my mic, chief? How about that one? How does Chief feel for you?
So throughout my professional career and my personal life, we called my dad Big Chief for a lot of years.
Really?
Yeah, so Big Chief and Chief. And then when I first got the internship and the job with the Trailblazers in Portland, there was the VP of tickets, who just recently passed away, Berlin Hodges, just a great dude, former minor league hockey player and just legendary sports type guy too. But we called him the Big Chief, and you'd walk by his office and, Big Chief.
So you're good with Chief.
I'm good with Chief,
not
but
good
I know
with
it
boss.
Has a lot of people are offended now.
You good with Chief, Brendan?
It definitely leans towards pretentious.
Yeah, I guess, I can see it being a little pretentious.
Not saying it always is, but I think it leans that way.
Nowadays it does.
Tone is very important, too, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, tone to me is like the biggest variable in this equation.
You know what else matters? How you feel about that person.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Like, if Brendan said, hey, Chief, can you bring me some water? I'd be like, yeah, great. That's outstanding, Brendan. If Blankers asked me, I'd be like, go to heck.
Yeah, well, I mean, because I was going to say, a lot of times, too, or it's like if a guy comes to your house, whatever, and he's a repair guy, but everything is boss. Everything is boss. You don't know me like that. Right.
So that
because the one that gets me, BK was talking about this a few weeks ago, but I forgot to bring it up to him. But again, there are people that I hear use it way too often. My dude.
My dude.
What's up, my dude? You've never met me before in my life.
My guy. How do you feel about my guy?
Same thing. My dude guy. And my guy, especially if I'm not your guy, like we've never met before, and you go, hey, you done with those dumbbells, my guy?
You really got to be.
I'm not your guy, dude.
You really got to be their guy to be my guy.
Yeah.
You really got to be their dude to be my dude, right? I think that's a pretty good one. How do you feel about, here's one that I love. It's like a golfing term. Pards.
Podsy.
Pods. Podsy. All of those. They're like all a derivative of each other.
I've never heard that.
You never heard of... Well, I mean, Brandon, you wouldn't go to Augusta. This is very on brand.
You know why
you
haven't heard of that? Because you're from the Midwest. When you get down here, especially if you get down here and play golf, that is a staple.
Never heard it. Never once.
And unlike Mario and Mario, as Jeremy just said, you can say it however you want. Pards, pods, podsy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is like...
Potna.
That's the same thing as my boy.
Dusty says potna. My potna. But yeah, parts. Could you grab my nine iron pards? I like pods every now and then, too, to switch it up. 713-780-ESPN. What are those little nicknames that either annoy you? Just friendly terms. They're friendly terms. They annoy you. What are the ones you're okay with that some people might not be? I like pods. What do you think? 713-780-ESPN. 713-780.
What about D-bag? Is that affectionate?
No, that's not part of this list. That's not a friendly term, Blankers.
Okay. Well, I mean, it could be.
Could it? In which scenario is that a friendly term?
When you have friends that you talk a lot of smack to on a regular basis, you're like, are we leaving or not, D-bag?
No. That's not friendly.
Come on.
That is not friendly. All right. Every day this week until Thursday, through Thursday, we're looking at our scenario at three for the Houston Rockets. NBA draft coming up Thursday could change the foundation for the Houston Rockets. We'll take a look at one of the prospects when we return. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about Apollo Men's Health. Look, at this point in your life, you're not trying to win an Olympic medal. You're trying to win the day. And in a lot of cases, when people start to get older, the first thing that wanes is the ability to stay energized throughout the day. At Apollo Men's Health, they can help you find ways to get that energy back in your life. It starts with a B12 shot like I get every week, or you can go all the way to the different methods of testosterone therapy that you can either have them administer on a weekly basis in the office, you can do it at the house, and they can teach you how and get you the product. Or if you're a guy, you can get cutting-edge pellet testosterone therapy where you only have to go in every 6 months, but you still reap the benefits of more energy on a daily basis. They also have lots of other things to get you on a workout program like a full body composition analysis or to recover quicker like HGH peptide therapy. You want stuff for your smoothies? They got that too. Two locations to better serve you near downtown Houston with a third coming in League City in early July. The fact is they take care of their patients because they care about them. Go to ApolloMH.com right now and see all the different ways they can help you. And while you're there, if you set up your first appointment, you will find out that most major insurance is accepted, discounts for military personnel and first responders. And oh, by the way, you mentioned my name, Joel Blank, and ESPN 97.5. Get a free B12 shot or a free body composition analysis on your first official visit at Apollo. Check them out today. They're good people doing great things. It's the people at Apollo Men's Health.
ESPN 97.5. Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Some people are texting in their friendly terms that annoys them. We'll get to the Rocket scenario each and every day, 2:30 through Thursday, day of the NBA draft. I'm 38. I don't like strangers or dudes in their early 20s or under calling me bro. Bruh or sir are okay, but bro implies that we are associates.
See?
At least.
I think that really factors in. Like, if you know the other person, a lot more are acceptable than if you're in the grocery store and you go, hey, can I get by you here, chief?
Right.
I need to clarify.
What are you trying to get by me for?
He said bruh is okay, but bro isn't?
Yeah.
I mean, that's fine. It's just funny.
It is funny. I found that
I've told you guys this before, but there are people that we all know that you wouldn't expect this from that despise the term dude because they feel like it is disrespectful and degrading.
Huh. I've never heard that one before.
Yeah.
Like, dude, I'm okay with. Like, dude is like, that's fine. Like, I don't really care if you call me dude. Now, boss, chief, what was the one you said during the break, sweetie?
Sweetie and hun drive me crazy if I don't like the person.
Are you talking about, like, an older lady? Or
I was going to say, you guys like call each other that all the time, but I guess because you like each other, it's okay.
Who's calling you sweetie and hun?
I worked with an old lady in the past who called me sweetie and hun. I could not stand her. Just it drove me crazy. I really wanted to be
I think
like,
it's very, very in the workplace. It used to be a very, very frequent thing for females, especially older ladies, to call males in the office.
See, if I liked her, I don't think I would have even minded. But I couldn't stand her, so it drove me crazy.
John from Willis says, "Pal, pal's up there with like boss and chief. Yeah. Like, hey, give me that glass there, pal."
I always hear pal and think Milo, but his was Pally.
Pally?
Yeah, Pally.
Nate says mate. Mate is one. I actually like mate because not many people say mate, and usually when somebody does, it's usually an Aussie.
Right.
And if you're speaking to me with that Aussie accent, I automatically think you're a really nice guy.
You and I watch a lot of golf. Jason Day, it's a staple. Jason Day calls everybody mate.
I love hearing mate, to be honest with you. Yeah,
I had no problem with it.
Yeah, I like that. That's one of my favorite ones, actually. Thank you, Nate, for sending that in. 713-780.
Thank you, mate. for sending that in.
Thanks, Nate, my mate, for sending that in. Somebody texted one that we can't say on the air. Don't do that. 713-780-3776. Stop saying ones that we can't say on the air. 713-780-3776.
That's hilarious, yes.
My six-year-old called my wife, dude, ticked her off. I cracked up. I got in trouble. Yeah, that's how it usually works out. All right, 713-780-3776. Let's get into our Houston Rockets scenario. Taking a look at a prospect who could be on the board at number three. Yesterday we did who I feel is the least likely and what I would consider the worst-case scenario, which Mario Elie did not agree. He likes Jaden Ivey. If you want to go back and listen to that, ESPN975.com, scroll down, find the archive page. But today we're going to look at Paolo Banchero, who... Look, we talked to Amico yesterday saying, do you see a scenario in which Paolo Banchero is not a Houston Rocket come Friday morning? He's like, no, that's probably the most realistic scenario. And look, we all know that. But Vegas might be trending in another way. Did you see the movement on this where Banchero's yep. odds to go number one went from plus 1,600 to plus 400 in a single day?
It's a bit surprising. Now, if you're a Rockets fan, there's the more I hear about Chet, the more Mario pegged it. It's either a home run or a bust. And I don't think you can afford to get a bust. So I would love them to have a choice between Jabari Smith or Banchero. But I would like them, and this might be on an unpopular take, but I would like them to steer clear of Chet. Because I've seen guys that can't put on muscle and weight in the NBA. And I worry about how his skill set translates. And I think it's good, even if it does translate, it's going to take a few years. And then, like Mario said, I've heard the same rumblings about the medicals that worry me.
I'm going to wait on my Chet analysis until we talk about Chet, because there's some things I really like about him. There's some things that worry me about him. But the Paolo Banchero is going to be the player that we're looking at right now, because I still consider him the most likely player to be there at three. Would you say that?
I would agree with that. And I think that to Mario's point, one I've made previously that you and I have both agreed on, I think he's the most NBA ready right now. He's the most polished coming out of the college, coming out of this draft to contribute and be ready to play right now.
I won't push back on that too hard. I'm not sure that he'd be a better rookie than Jabari. I think it'd be very close. I'm not putting one ahead of the other. I think they're very similar.
A strength and physicality standpoint, I think Jabari's still a little soft around the edges. He's going to have a harsh reality. Like every night, he's going to be playing against guys that are going to want to bang him around sure. and are stronger than him.
But Jabari's a better defender than Banchero is. Now, Banchero does have a better NBA body currently, but like Banchero defending on the perimeter versus Jabari.
I was going to say, he's a better perimeter defender, but I think Banchero's a better post defender.
Yeah, well, with current day NBA, which would you value more?
I think you value both because, like we were talking about with Kevin Looney, you got to be able to play both sometimes.
Let's talk about Banchero. Also, Kevin O'Connor, who has a podcast on Spotify, keeps up with the NBA. I hope he does. Says he's heard rumors of the Rockets trying to move up to number one or number two to take Banchero. He said, quote, I had a source tell me yesterday that OKC is definitely a contender to take Banchero at two. So, and he also said, but how much is that OKC putting it out there knowing Houston's desire to take him? That's a little worrisome that the Rockets, because I don't want the Rockets to trade up. Like, I have my favorites
that's
here.
That's the other thing I've heard.
See, that they would trade up?
That the Rockets would consider talking to Orlando about getting the one and what it would take. Would it be 17? Would it be something in the future? What would it take so that they could guarantee getting one of their guys as opposed to whatever's left over?
I don't like that. I don't know
that I like it either.
I'd rather stand pat there at number three. But Paolo Banchero, if we look at him as a player, we've talked about him a little bit here, even this segment. I love him offensively. I really do. I think he's going to be a good player. I'm not sure. I think he can develop into being a good three-point shooter at some point. I don't think we're going to see that year one, maybe not even year two. But I think eventually at some point he's going to be able to add the three because he's got a good stroke and he's got a really good mid-range game in college. I think his size allows him to get to the bucket. He's not terrible off the dribble. He's got pretty good handles for his size. He's a load. Like, he is a big dude.
He's a big dude. That's what I'm saying. That's from that reason alone that he's NBA ready.
I think he is offensively ready to go in the NBA. I think he could be the best offensive player right now in this draft. I don't know if he has the high upside as even Chet or high upside as Jabari offensively, but I think he's going to be a good offensive player. A lot of the criticism for Paolo comes defensively. Like, he's not uber athletic. He's not entirely quick of foot. When you see a lot of the weaknesses of Paolo Banchero, it's what he does on the defensive side. Like, I think he can defend the post. As far as like a rim protector, I think he's going to be okay, but he's not a great leaper to protect rim. I think he'll be a good rebounder, though.
Doesn't have a whole lot to shoot for to be better than Christian Wood.
No. But I don't want Christian Wood to be the rim protecting
bar. Absolutely right.
You know what I mean?
I get that. And I hear what you're saying. Look, I think that in terms of what you have that God that you can't teach, that God's given him, he has the skill set that makes a lot of sense for this Rockets team. Does he have to learn rotations and how to defend better? Sure. Mm-hmm. But when you look at it, because even when you mentioned three-point shooting, I'm not sure that I want him to be a three-point shooting big. It always helps in today's NBA that you can shoot the shot.
Do you think he's a four or a five?
I think he's a four.
See, if he's a four, I want him to shoot the three.
And that makes sense the way they play the game today. But I think that because you have so many other offensive weapons on your team, and you will have with Houston, I think that, look, if they leave him open, you want him to be able to make the shot at a good percentage.
Yep.
But I think that because of the fact that he's a good passer, he's a really good passer for a guy his size. He has really good touch facing the basket, and he can still put his butt on the post. I believe that what he brings to the table with that skill set alone is exactly what you need next to Şengün. Because the one thing Şengün can't do that they're trying to get him to do is face the basket and score. So I think that he is I think ideally for right now and for the future, he's probably the best fit for the Rockets if you can't get Jabari Smith.
Do you think Paolo and Şengün gives you enough rim protection?
Maybe.
See, I almost love the idea of Paolo and then like a Duren type and then a Şengün off
Duren
the bench.
Would be a fantastic add with those two guys. Because the fact that they had Şengün late in the year, they wised up and they had him working with Chuck Hayes to just learn about things like, you know, positioning and using your lower body and doing things means Şengün's got work to do on the defensive end as well. And you don't want two liabilities on defense, young kids in your lineup.
Yeah, and you have to have an ability to protect the rim in the NBA. So I don't love the Banchero Şengün. Like, they're going to play minutes together, but I think Şengün, like, is a six-man off the bench to give you some post minutes. Like, maybe he's even playing 25, 30 minutes a game in relief of a rim protector, in relief of a Banchero. I think I like that idea a little bit better. How do you feel, Houston? If you end up with Paolo Banchero Thursday night, how good would that make you feel? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Tomorrow we'll look at another NBA prospect, another scenario for the Houston Rockets at number three. So make sure you're listening in always to the Killer Bees, but especially 2:30 when we discuss that tomorrow. All right, coming up next, what are the Browns with Watson? What are the Browns without Deshaun Watson? And could Justin Verlander hang around long enough to reach 300 wins and or 4,000 strikeouts? We'll ask that to one of the Wheelhouse men when we come back. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. But first, I want to tell you about Gentle Ben. I like a good drink at the end of the day. You know that. Vodka, gin. They're both part of the rotation for me. And Gentle Ben Spirits is my spirit of choice. They're a line of ultra-premium Texas spirits. They use their state-of-the-art, innovative Percedo craft technology that is simply better in purity. It's better in aroma. And it's better in taste than your favorite brand of vodka or gin. Ricky Ford, founder, owner, Gentle Ben Spirits. He had me out to the tasting room, A&M class of 85, by the way. And he said, here, try my vodka. Compare it to another very popular Texas brand of vodka. And you tell me which one you like the most. So I tried the two. Gentle Ben Vodka won by a mile. Their gin, very good as well. So trust me now, thank me later. Give Gentle Ben a shot. Whether it's the vodka, whether it's the gin, I promise you that you will love it. You're going to put away your old favorite for your new favorite. I'm a Gentle Ben man now, and you're going to love it too. Also, want to remind you, Gentle Ben will be out at Total Wine and More in Pearland, June 30th, my birthday, by the way, for a taste test. The one and only Ricky Ford, Gentle Ben president, founder, owner, he'll be on hand talking smooth spirits and sampling their unique approach of vodka and gin. So you want to make sure that you check that out. Total Wine and More. Ricky Ford will be out there, and he'll be taking you through the steps. He'll have some samples there as well. So take advantage of that. June 30th, 4 through 7, Total Wine and More in Pearland. Go say hello to Ricky. Tell him how much you love Gentle Ben. Try Gentle Ben. Tell us. Let him know that you heard it right here on ESPN 97.5. Gentle Ben, the union of tradition and invention.
ESPN 97.5. All teams covered, no talking points necessary.
You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Oh, you know what this music means. It means it's Jose Urquidy Day at Minute Maid Park. He abandoned that cutter, Blankers.
Yeah, and we did our part, too. When we play the music, he pitches better.
He does. He does pitch better. So hopefully now that Brendan played smooth, that Jose Urquidy will shove and push against the New York Mets. First of a two-game series, the first of nine in a row against New York teams. Which, how are you feeling about these next nine games from, you know, New York state of mind?
You'll be homesick.
Now living in Houston. Like, how do you view this nine-game streak? Jake Asman of the Wheelhouse joining us now.
Very odd schedule quirk, because it's two with the Mets, and then four in New York to play the Yankees. Then what? Four more with the Mets at Citi Field? And then they come back here, and you have the weird rescheduled first week of the season. Is it just the one game this time, or
just
a doubleheader?
Just one game this time, and then you play in a day-night doubleheader the first day. Not the first day, but like the first day of Major League Baseball action after the All-Star break.
It's very odd. Yeah. It's a very odd scheduling quirk.
It is very bizarre after that first series against the Yankees got banged, thanks to the lockout and thanks to Robert Manfred, the clown that he is.
They made a huge mistake, by the way, with that. You know, they rescheduled the Philly series for the last week of the season. They just tacked it on. They should have done that with the Yankees, because the Astros lose out on a ton of business. Those games are going to be sellouts.
Yeah, they would have. The fact that, like, they're all right for this one. Like, the one road game is okay, even though it's middle of the week. Like, you would like it to be on a Friday, Saturday, more than likely. But the doubleheader's where you really lose a lot of the gate, because now it's a midday game.
Is it single admission? I don't know.
I bet you it is.
Wait,
I bet
the Yankees, you it is. That's the biggest burner right there.
That's what I'm saying.
That is a kick in the...
You lose the gate.
Well, because the original series was the weekend series.
I don't think they still do, but you realize that the Astros, I think, were one of the first franchises to do this. They took their key opponents every year. You know, like Rockets, you were always looking forward to that. When are the Warriors in town, or the Lakers, or whatever? The Astros took it so far as to up the prices on the games against the Yankees or the Red Sox or the big-time teams, because they knew that they were going to sell. So they actually double cashed in.
Yep.
That would really suck if it was one price, two games.
Yeah. I think it's going to be. I think it has to be, because I think they're playing I think it's like at 1 and then 6. So
it's a single admission doubleheader.
Probably.
As opposed to the old day-night doubleheader.
Hide in the bathrooms. You get 2-for-1.
Yeah. I used to go to Astroworld as a kid, like during the week. We go to Astroworld, do all of that, stay until the Astros game, and then go over to the Astros game. That was always a very fun day during the summer. Jake, I'd like to apologize. I didn't see something yesterday. Like, I saw something, but it didn't resonate what it was. I couldn't quite put two and two together. But I realize now you have shaved the beard. The beard is gone.
I have. I already regret the decision.
Really?
It's the first time in over 2 years that I went clean shave, and I shaved it on Saturday. And I'm like, it's hot. Maybe this will help with the heat. It didn't do anything. So I already regret it. I look like I'm 12. I need the beard to come back. It's already starting. But
you get carted to go into, like, trampoline parks now?
I think now I would.
Yeah,
before I wouldn't. But now, I mean, all bets are off.
Before, they think you were a creeper just trying to chase the kids. Now they're wondering if you're of age to get in.
I wouldn't go that far, but if you want to go down that path, I'm about to stop you. Right.
What do we think of Fair Take Jake? 713-780-3776. Do we think more of the beard? Is it better looked at for Jake to have the beard? Or is it better to have the clean face, clean shaven?
So it's been mixed. I do a YouTube show every day, and my audience there, it's on camera, obviously. So they've had some strong opinions, but... I like the way the beard looks, because I look older, and I don't look like I'm 12, as Joel was just pointing out. Yeah.
I think the beard's a good look for you. Like me, I can't pull off the beard. Like, my hair's too thick.
Can you
messy.
Grow a full beard?
I'm half messy. Oh, my goodness.
Who's the redheaded actor that has the beard? He always plays, like, the kind of sinister big brother type role.
Sinister big brother
Or kind of, he's kind of a...
Your memory fascinates
he's kind of
me.
As an a-hole. He plays a lot of a-hole roles, but he's been in a ton of stuff. He's a redheaded guy.
Seth Green.
Yes, I think that's
it.
He doesn't have a beard.
What do you know?
He doesn't have a beard right now.
Let me Google it.
I think he has a little, like, I think he has some stubble.
I think he has the 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah, about, like, Seth Green from, like, Austin Powers and, like, Entourage.
Yes,
Scott. He's got,
right there. He's got a beard.
Scruff.
Like, it's a beard.
Scott. I was thinking of the guy.
It's a beard. That's a beard.
Yeah, all right. There's different photos of him without a beard, though. I was confused.
You should go this look right here with a beard and then, like, a hair back and a ponytail.
Who's the actor from the show Billions? Bobby Axelrod is the character he plays. That guy's a phenomenal actor. He's someone I like.
Why don't you pull off this look? Just grow your hair out, slick it back with the beard.
I can do that.
How would your hair look long?
You know, I'm going to
go man bun
that.
On us.
I don't think I could ever rock the man bun. That'd be
called Doc Linville. There's always a shot.
If Doc Linville could do a man bun now.
If he can transplant, he can also maybe grow, get it to be that extra thick, long bun you need.
Let me tell you something. Doc Linville, proud redhead, yeah. One of the greats.
Yes, he is.
I'm trying to get my hair into a hair bun by September.
In the front or the back?
It doesn't matter.
You wherever, got enough in front.
Wherever I can pull it off.
You could Luis Scola it in front.
I want to before September. Then I usually start worrying about my grooming a little bit more in September.
If Branham went with the just full long hair and the 5 o'clock shadow, he could go for Luis Scola for Halloween.
Well,
I like that.
There's been some pictures whenever I grew my hair out during COVID and
I
shaved
see
my
you
face
with a beard.
Where I look like Lena Hidalgo.
Oh. You with a beard fascinates me because you're always, you know, clean shaven. You got to wear nice clothes. You're calling the Cougs. But this is your off season, man. This is summertime.
I had a little bit of a beard yesterday because I knew I had to shave today and not going to shave back-to-back days in the summer. Are you kidding me? But during COVID, I tried to grow my hair out. Like, I grew the hair out, and I tried the beard. It itched so bad, I could not handle it.
Yeah, I'm the same way. One, because I get a little gray hair tuft on my chin, so I hate it because I had a goatee forever. Yeah, but the other thing was, you know, sometimes to mess with Lisa because she hates facial hair. We're not doing things out the shows where I was on my vacation, and I'll let it go for a couple days. After about the third day, I can't stand it. It really does itch.
How often do you shave every day?
About every day.
See, shave. I hate shaving. Me Growing too. Up, I was like, oh, this is so cool. I finally could shave. I thought it was awesome putting the shaving cream on. And then you realize it is such an annoying thing you have
to
do.
When I worked at the Rockets office, I shaved every day, but I used the electric shaver. But then you realize it doesn't fully give you a great shave.
No.
There's still something there. Whereas it's a pain in the ass to use a blade, but the blade you guarantee you're going to shave.
I prefer the blade just because it's a closer shave. I you missed it the other day. I had my Nestor the Molester mustache.
It was awful.
It was awful. You mean great.
Yeah. No, it was
outstanding.
Like, it was D-level porn stash is what it was.
Well, I mean, the mustache is not for everyone. But those who
shouldn't
rock
be
the
for
stash,
anyone.
Well, I mean,
the mustache alone.
Tom Selleck can rock a mustache.
Tom Selleck's got a great mustache.
Yeah.
Some guys are born to have a stash. Tom
Branham,
Selleck is
Branham is on that list. Selleck, Branham, mustache.
Ron
two
Jeremy.
Peas in a pod.
Ron Jeremy.
I don't
know.
Would have to be.
I don't know
have
that
to
is.
Be on this. Yes, you do.
What are the Browns with Deshaun Watson? What are they without Deshaun Watson?
With Deshaun Watson, I mean, assuming he plays 17 games, let's say, I think with their roster, they're a playoff team. I think they have a chance to compete for a Super Bowl. Assuming Deshaun Watson resembles the player he was in 2020 and before that. Without him, I mean, I don't love Jacoby Brissett. I think the Browns are probably picking anywhere from 10 to 15 in the NFL draft, and that means the Texans potentially have an extra top 10 pick.
See, that's kind of where I'm at, too. Like, I feel like the range for Deshaun Watson, if Cleveland, and like we're throwing the suspension out here a little bit, I think that they're also a Super Bowl contender. Many people thought they were a Super Bowl contender last year with stinking Baker Mayfield.
They were the talk of the league going into the year.
Yeah.
Everyone was picking the Browns.
Yeah. I'm curious. Like, I guess you need to see the suspension before you start looking at the future odds on the Cleveland Browns. But I think that their range with Deshaun Watson is a wild card team to a Super Bowl contender, like legitimately. Without Deshaun Watson, with Jacoby Brissett, like if it's a full year suspension, then I think we're looking at a team that, low end, I really think, like, their roster's still very good, but it's Jacoby Brissett as the quarterback. I think their low end range is now 5-6 wins, and the very, very high upsides, Philadelphia Eagle playoff appearance at 9-8.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe 10-7. I got to look at their schedule, but they're in the AFC. They play in a tough division.
Their division's loaded.
Yeah, so, with Deshaun Watson, they're an outstanding team. The problem is, I don't think he's playing football in 2022, regardless of what happened today with the settlements.
See, that's what we were talking about earlier, too. How long do you think the range is on the. I think it starts at a year. And I think it could go to a year and a half.
I'm saying minimum a year. I think that's where it ends up.
What do you think the maximum is? Because we were talking about range, too. Like, I think that a year is the more popular opinion. If we just put a poll out there, I think a year probably wins it. If I was betting it, I would bet a year as well. But do you think it could go longer than a year?
I would be surprised, but more and more people have that thought. And I understand people are like, oh, well,
because
Trevor
more and more women are coming out saying, hey, me too.
And I mean, just optic-wise, if they did give him more than a year, there's not going to be that many people other than maybe like delusional Browns fans that would be that upset over it.
Yeah, see, it's going to be interesting. I think that the suspension's coming soon, too. I think it's probably one of the reasons that Deshaun Watson would get
some settlement.
When's
the appeal on the Bauer? Because they're watching the Bauer case very, very closely. He's appealing. I don't know when that's going to be, but I think that actually does have some weight in what the decision they make.
July 4th weekend.
Yeah.
They'll drop the Watson bombshell. on like a Friday night when everyone's already done with work.
I said late Thursday for Friday going into July 4th weekend. What's coming up on the Wheelhouse today?
A great show. We got Jay Billis coming on the show today at 4:30.
Oh, yeah, my guy. Yeah, Bilas is great.
You love him. We'll be breaking down Rockets potential draft prospects with Jay. We got Mike Meltzer giving us the legal angle of the Watson stuff at 5:30. And we'll talk Astros.
You got Kim Ogg.
He did get Kim Ogg. We'll ask him about that. And it should be fun. Astros, Rockets, I mean, Texans. Cody's always got something good
Jay
for
Velas
us.
Jay is going to talk highly of his man from Duke.
Oh, 4:45. Yeah. Hypothetical Tuesday. Let's go, baby.
All right. Sounds very good. Sounds like a jam-packed show. Make sure you're keeping it here. Thanks to Brendan for doing all the hard work. He's Blank on Branham. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.